Is it not an awesome day? I'm telling you what, the more of them you see, the more you appreciate them. Good, bad, and indifferent. Because you don't know how many more of them you got to go. Well, let's get the analog part out so that we can do the digital. Good morning, everybody. I'm praying we're going to have an awesome day today. You know, I told you last week that this one was different, and it wasn't like I normally, when the Lord wants me to share some things, it wasn't normally coming out. And I felt like last week I kind of hit you with a scattergun of a bunch of stuff. I hope some of it was beneficial. I will try to be a little more concentrated today. The title of this particular teaching is called Becoming Well Seasoned. And I kind of got on that just looking at where I am. You ever done that? You ever just stopped to see where you are as opposed to where you were?
Only in the mirror.
And for some of us, only in the mirror after a cup of coffee. But when I did that, y'all, I just had to stop and thank God. Because there is no way that I'd be standing where I'm standing right now if it had not been for the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit by the love of God Almighty. Because there are so many things that would have tripped me up and killed me. I mean, and some of those things haven't been that long ago. He keeps saving us. So, seasoned. I had the privilege of being at Al Stadium last night because I'm on the board of directors for Out of the Ashes, and it was Faith Night, and they were sponsoring Out of the Ashes, and Pat Chamberlain and I are good friends, and I told him the subject of this study, and he sort of snickered a little bit. And I said, what do you mean? I said, you don't like being skewered and then put over a slow roasting fire and then having seasons put in the cross marks of the knife? And he still was laughing. But wait a minute. That all sounds terrible, doesn't it? It sounds really terrible. It sounds like God is there and he's saying, okay, what can we do to him next? But you know, that comes out of love. Because once that particular piece of meat has come through that charcoal grilling process and it's had the seasons put in it, what does it taste like? What comes out of that raw hunk of meat is some of the best flavor that you've ever had in your life. And then you understand why you went through that process. And so that's bringing me, I think, back around. We left off last time with who is our help now? Who is our helper now here on this earth? Because Scripture says Jesus is where? He is at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. But his presence is not gone because it's here in the expression of Holy Spirit. And he forecast that to us in John 14. So if y'all will go with me to John 14. Let me flip over there. And I am going, read that whole chapter, guys. He starts off with don't let yourselves be disturbed. I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Version, so you can, whatever yours says. It says, trust in God and trust in me. It doesn't matter that they just hit Iran and hit all their nuclear facilities. He says, don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in God and trust in me. And then he says, in my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Now, what on earth does that have to do with becoming well-seasoned? In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulations, what's going on? Any of you guys ever been to the Biltmore House? What does that look like? Is that not awesome? I mean, you got a fireplace that you can stand in the library with books that are all around the corner. You've got a dinner table that goes from here to those doors back there. And it was always filled with sumptuous food when they lived there. You have tapestries on the wall from the 1600s that are absolutely gorgeous. And there was one time that I was there, and I was looking at all this stuff, and this verse came to my mind. So that's what man made. What do you think your place looks like in heaven? Absolutely awesome. And he told us that. And then he told them that he was going to go and leave them. And then we get down to verse 16. All right, let's go back to verse 15. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. And then if we go to chapter 16 and verse 7, let me get there right quick. He says, but I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. And so, that is one of the things that we need to strive for more and more and more as we continue in our walk. And that is to know the person and the actions of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came down like tongues of fire over the top of their head. And what happened? Well, they began to talk to people that they didn't even know the language of and tell them about the kingdom and tell them about Jesus Christ. And then, was it Peter that preached? How many got saved? 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Was that on Peter's ability? No. That was on the ability of the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter to those people. Now, what happens if Lee goes into Walmart and comes around the grocery aisle and suddenly there is someone that looks like they need help with something? Now, being a person of the altitude that I am, I've had the occasion to help people with lesser altitude gain things they want on upper shelves. But that has also opened the door to speaking to them on other things. It can happen to you, especially in the realm of healing. We all need healing. I needed healing this week. I want y'all to know, the enemy did not like me coming here because I got smacked with a sinus infection that would not go away. Why? Because this is something that we need to hear. Every day, we need to be aware every day, and I'm speaking to the choir, I know that, every day of the opportunities for us to spread the gospel of the kingdom, to be what Paul said, all things for all men, that I might by some means win some. We need to be looking at, I saw this and I saved this, I don't, it says, God didn't anoint you for the approval, for your approval, he anointed you for impact. Let them talk. You've got territory to take. We need to wake up with that attitude. And I'm speaking to myself. We need to wake up with the attitude of what territory, Lord, and am I going to take today for you? And you don't have to come out with a because sometimes it's, can I pray for you? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Can I show you what's helped me? Do you know those words have so much power? Go ahead.
Excuse me, and I'm finding out that because people aren't talking that much and they're afraid, maybe, phones, but also trick questions, people are, that people really love it when you talk to them, when it's the appropriate time.
Yeah.
They said, thank you for talking to me. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. What about what just happened on the platform about 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago? What was going on up there? They had interference. Guys, that looked absolutely silly. Y'all binding up the enemy over a sound system. It worked. It worked. Our words, okay, let's go back to the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty. How do we employ our weapons? How did God create the earth? Speaking it. We are created in the image of the Most High God. He says, your words have power. I spoke about that last time. I can't help it. When we trust that when we speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Things are going to change. The atmosphere in the room is going to change. The atmosphere where you go is going to change. It's kind of like, it's kind of like when Moses parted the sea, okay? When we walk into a place represented, as I spoke last time, in just being good, being godly, there is a presence that goes with us. And that presence parts the atmosphere. Now, do we take advantage of it all the time? No. But we can. And does everything change to our eyes automatically? That's another thing. Does everything change to our eyes automatically? Absolutely not. But the more that we understand, the more that we see, the more that we practice, the more that we take what God has given us, in trust, knowing that he's going to do the right thing in that situation, we will be able to see that, yes, what we have spoken by the utterance of the Holy Spirit will change things. Am I making sense here? If not, let me know, and I'll try to change something. I wrote this down. Yes, sir.
Going back to John 14.
Yeah.
Don't let your heart be troubled.
Yep. There you go.
And keep going. And when I read that keep going, the whole objective to the enemy is, like with Charlie and the team, let's work on it later. Let's not do it today because it's not working out right. We got to keep going. You have one bad experience, we can't base our faith on that. We keep going. Don't let some of these things stop you. You keep sharing. Says in the last days, they'll try to wear down the saints.
Yep.
And that's the enemy's target. If he can't get you in one shot, he's going to wear you down, and keep you from keep going.
Exactly. Thank you, brother, because that's exactly the little, as Terry Wilson says, segue into what I've wanted to share from the get-go here. Wear you down. How does he do that? Well, there's all kinds of different things. But in those things, what he doesn't realize is he's building testimonies in each and every one of us. And I'm glad I get to share this one, because I know you guys, God's done great things in every one of us. We have things that will just blow your mind, and they're all in this room, but I'm privileged to get to share because I'm teaching this one. But anyway, in 2015, my family and I were minding our own business. I had three children in college, and we were just living life. Our house had our water source was spring water, which was really awesome because it was really good. But in January of 2015, I noticed that there was some sort of black stuff in my spring. And so, being the diligent father that I was, I went down there and hit it up with chlorine pretty good. Guess what? It didn't phase it. So then I called the Ag Extension agent, and they said it was some sort of black algae, something or another, and it was very, very difficult to kill. Oh, and by the way, you don't need to be drinking the water. It's my only source of water, y'all. Moving right along in the process, I didn't feel comfortable with bathing in it either. So you have a house and no water. So what do? Well, you drill a well. That's what you do. Now, I do want to let you guys know that with having three children in college and working, I was not, you know, in a well-off position to drill a well. At that time, it was $9 a foot. Where I am is also not well-known for having a large supply of water. We sit up on top of a hill, which is mostly rock. In fact, the northeast corner of my house is on bedrock because they couldn't get any deeper to put the footers on. So, you know, here's how I felt. This is how I felt. I can't do anything. I can't fix this. This is out of my realm of control. Sound like something? So I just had to go with what I knew to do. So we called the guys, and they came and started drilling a well. 620 feet deep at $9 a foot. And there was no guarantee to hit water, you know. We finally did. And it was about a quarter of a gallon a minute. Most of you guys know that's not quite enough for a household. You need to have at least a gallon a minute. Do you want us to go deeper? No, that's okay. What can I do? Well, you can frack it. And the way they did that is they dropped down a pipe in there with holes in it at 6,000 PSI. They shoot water out to break the rock around it to try to make a little better reservoir. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you guys that while we were there in the house, our neighbors had graciously allowed us to get water from their well, and I was bringing 5-gallon buckets down to my house for us to wash clothes, brush our teeth, stuff like that. Now, showers and stuff, my mom lives in town, so we were able to wash clothes there and shower as well. This all started, by the way, in April of 2015. The well began to be drilled in July of 2015. As we continued to go along, when they fracked it, we got up to 1 gallon a minute. Yes! It lasted a week. What can we do? Well, we can frack it again and see what we come up with. And I forget what that cost. They fracked it again, didn't change it much. Okay, so we sat on that for a couple of weeks, not knowing which direction to go, just sitting there waiting. Finally, we decided we had to try again. So we followed the line from where our neighbor's well was down the hill, logically, to see that, hey, we can probably tap into that thing. Came out, drilled again. 635 feet. And we got 1 gallon a minute. And it lasted a week. God, what are you doing here? Well, now wait just a minute. Hold on. Kind of what in the natural represents the Holy Spirit? Water, right? Okay. So, after that, just to walk through it real quick, the next step was to buy an underground reservoir, which I did, 1,675 gallons, which they installed a state-of-the-art computer to work one well and the other well to fill up that underground reservoir, which lasted about 2 weeks. Because the 635-foot well quit. We had water brought in by a truck to fill up the underground reservoir to the tune of $150 a load, which lasted a month. And you guys think you got a high water bill. That lasted through the summer. And at the end of August, we heard that the county was going to put water lines down through our area and that we could petition the county council. And so we did in August, early August, actually. And this is how God begins to work. We were told the rules at addressing the county council. We walk into the council meeting, and guess who is the chairman of the county council? A longtime family friend of my mother and father's. So we spoke. And as we spoke, we told him, we're in an area, we don't have any water. You have a line that's coming down a mile from my house. We would like you to bring it on down. And they said, well, I'm not sure that we're going to want to do that. Is there any other people down there that want to tap on? Don't know. By the way, our fiscal year has ended. We've spent almost all of the money. We can't do anything this year. However, rigmarole, I tell you what we'll do. We will appoint the engineering study to be done to see what it would take to get the line down through there, and that'll be $15,000 out of the county council budget. And so they did the engineering study. And then they got their new appropriation the 1st of October. They had another county council meeting, and after a little bit of argument, now don't think that the enemy didn't dissent. There were there was a county council member that was not at all in favor of spending the money to run the line down on one person plus the possibility of two more. But God. 450,000 dollars the county, God, spent to run the water line a mile down the road to my house. We had to pay the connection, of course, which God also provided. But here's the real kicker. The day before Thanksgiving, 2015, water was in my house again. I got a picture in here somewhere of my wife and I holding up champagne glasses full of water. But do you know that through all that, I learned what a precious and valuable resource that water is to this day. You know, I used to, when I was brushing my teeth, I just leave that water running, brush my teeth. That water gets shut off when I brush my teeth now. I used to could tell you how much water was in a foot of 6-inch pipe. I think it's like 2.5 or 3 gallons. I'm not sure. But in a foot of 6-inch pipe. And then I had 600 feet of that pipe, so I could tell you how much was going into my underground reservoir. But do you see now that for me, I can go without water if I need to? I don't want to. We just got a new shower in our house, and let me tell you something, y'all. That is some more awesome shower. I love water. But God has shown me that I'm not taking that water for granted. That water is a blessing, and if I can share that testimony with somebody, God spent nearly $500,000 on this old boy just to put water in his house. If he cares that much for me, how much more can I not give to somebody else? And guess what? That dart of going without water, it doesn't affect me as much anymore. Because I know it may take 3-4 months, but my God's coming through. He's going to change the atmosphere. He is going to change something so that I can continue to do what he's called me to do. I don't care what they say. I got ground to take. Let me read you something else. You remember I showed you this right here? This is Tozer on the Holy Spirit. If you hadn't got this, I highly recommend it. It's a daily devotional. Let me read you today's. It says, come to the water. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. I thank God for Christian men and women who want to know the facts and the truths that they have that have come from God. Thank God that they're not just looking for someone to give them a relaxing religious message. These are the facts. The blood of Jesus cleanses. There is a purging element in Christianity. And then there's the Holy Spirit. The blessed Spirit of God who brings us peace and tranquility of the waters of Shiloh. The living God invites us to the stream, the only perennial stream in the world, the only stream that never runs dry, the only stream that never overflows and destroys. It's the Holy Spirit. We have to seek out the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then we have the peace that passes our understanding that we can stand in the place that he's called us to stand. And you know, that leads us back, and we're going to talk about this one a little bit more next week. There's a verse that says, stand, therefore. After having done all, what? Stand. okay, y'all know that when I see a word, I got to make sure I know what I'm talking about. You ever looked at that word, stand? When we take it for granted. What do you think it means? Don't move, that's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, you just... Standing. Position, that's another part of it. But do you know, I looked at that thing this morning. There was another word that came up right there at it. It said, abide. Abide. Where do you abide? Where do you live? Live, therefore. Live, therefore, with the weapons of our warfare, which 99% of them we speak. We speak. Let's go back to John 14. Let's go, John. Where are you? Where'd you go? There you are. John 14. I want to go to verse 12. I'm going to back up. Verse 11. It says, trust me that I'm united with the Father, and the Father united with me. But if you can't, then trust because of the works themselves. Yes, indeed. I tell you that whoever trusts in me will also do the works that I do. Indeed, he will do greater ones. He will what? He will do greater ones because I'm going to the Father. He's going to the Father, and he leaves us with the Holy Spirit, in which we are baptized, which means he has come upon us to empower us to do the works of the ministry. What's that? Well, one of them is what I'm doing right now. I'm sharing. And then who was it, Charles Spurgeon, that says something about witnessing? And if necessary, use words. Greater works, raise the dead. Does that seem impossible to you? Anybody ever had the opportunity yet? Anybody looking for the opportunity? Just saying. Look for that opportunity. If you're not looking for it, may not happen. Anybody had the opportunity to have God's power heal somebody by your touch? Is that not awesome? Is that not awesome? How about having somebody come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Having them have their eternal life because of the word that you spoke. The angels in heaven rejoice when that happens. Is that not so cool? You will see somebody in heaven because you weren't worried about what they were going to think. I'm telling you, we have to be, as our former pastor used to say, supernaturally natural. We have to have that mindset that God is working through us every day. We have to think that we are eternal beings. We are. We're eternal beings. We're here for a period of time. We're responsible for that time. Some of us are more responsible than others. But it's a privilege. Because the closer we get to knowing him, the greater our understanding of his love for us is. The greater our trust in him becomes. When you allow just, I'm going through this process, God, I ain't got water. I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go fill up 6 5-gallon buckets full of water so I can brush my teeth tonight. But guess what? There is no hole in the roof of my house. My bed is still just as comfortable as it was. I may not have water, but I still have this. I can still walk forward. And then when I get to speak like I'm speaking right now, somebody will understand. If he'll spend $500,000 on him, dude, opportunity's open for me. We have the ability to change this earth. We are mandated to change what the enemy meant for evil by God's power working through us. It's changed the way I look at where I'm going. And it's also made me so very, very grateful for the opportunity to wake up in the morning and to be where I am. So next week, I will try to wrap this thing up. And I hope that you've been encouraged today to enjoy the war that you're in. Because you're victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious. And you're greatly loved. And I thank you for your time. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for blessing us. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. Help us when we stand in that place, Lord, that you're calling us to be people of action. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.